Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. So an eventful weekend in the NFL, a couple exciting finishes in terms of point spread decisions, Nick Chubb running out of bounds, and then the Hail Murray and subsequent kneeling in the extra point. Both were the right decisions per se, but certainly had a lot of reaction throughout the sports betting community. So we'll talk to Mr. Executive Director John Murray coming up momentarily. Also, that what a upset by the Patriots that saved the sports book. So we can shed a tear because we're on the side of the public, but always interesting to see how this stuff unfolds. And for those looking for a little UFC pod, that's coming out Friday. So adjust your calendars. It'll be Friday this week. Really interesting card, a lot of interesting fights. And Matthew and Lou have a lot of good picks, a lot of picks for this one. So that comes out Friday. And, of course, the college one was yesterday. And we've already had some movement in some games since the taping. But that's such is life in handicapping 2020 sports.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
Yes, kicking is always for losers, as we've exhausted here on the Behind the Bets podcast. Good to be with you, Mr. Executive Director. Pretty noteworthy outcomes last weekend, getting like main page on ESPN.com. Nick Chubb. Now, we're all getting desensitized to the running back running out of bounds. He just did it in a funny way where it kind of looked like his left thumb slipped off the joystick because he went full speed. That's the difference. Usually guys slow down. He went full speed and out at the one, kind of duping everyone watching.
Yeah, and we had sharp guys that had laid Cleveland -2.5 the previous Sunday night when we put it up. So they won. Most of the people that bet Cleveland obviously lost on that game as that number got up to 3.5, 4 as we got into the weekend.
Yeah, I was on it, if you remember. That was my pick in the bonanza. So I got the push at -3. But let's talk about the Hail Murray. What's it like in a sports book when something like that happens? I mean, I know it from the past, but I wasn't there this past weekend.
Well, everybody erupted for sure. I think more people had bet Buffalo than Arizona. I know that more people had bet Buffalo than Arizona. So it wasn't maybe the explosion that you're picturing. You know, I think we had a bigger reaction to the egregious interception that Drew Lock threw before halftime against your Raiders. Because, you know, the biggest change now in the sports books out here in Nevada is they're just flooded with Raiders fans. So when Drew Lock threw that pick, I think that was the biggest roar we had all day.
Really? So more than the Hail Murray? Interesting.
I think so. I think because so many people, so many people are rooting for, are watching the Raiders, rooting for the Raiders. And there was a big, roar when Kyle Murray completed that touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins. But there was also a lot of groans because like I said, there was more money on Buffalo.
So a lot of moans maybe also in the book because of the split, handle. Sure. It's funny with the taking the knee, it made sense. Obviously it was the right decision because in case of the craziness of a return,
of course,
things like that. I actually texted Ed Sammons because I knew who you would know. Is there was a game in 1998 because I was in college and it was in New England. So there was a little bit of, some people in the fraternity, let's call it, who were into the game for -3.
And, I actually know this story.
Yeah,
I want you to tell the story because I'll add a detail that Ed might have left out because I know this story, but go ahead.
Well, I asked him what the closing line was because our database said 1.5 or 2, and I remembered 3.5 vividly. So I just basically what happened is they were down 4, threw a pass to the end zone on the game's final play, and there was pass interference on the Bills. So they got the line on the one. They got the game ball on the one. Pass from Bledsoe to Ben Coates. Touchdown. Wade Phillips and the Bills furious. Storm off And so they're not even out there for the extra point. And Pete Carroll says, ah, run it in, run it in. So Vinatieri runs it in for the win by four. And nobody, no defense at all, no special teams for the Bills. And then so they win by four, and obviously that covers the threes.
You know, the story that I heard about that game, I was actually a student at Gonzaga College High School in Northwest D.C. at that time. But what I heard was Ed Sammons threw a clipboard at his colleague Jeff Sherman because he was so disgusted by that play. So hopefully HR isn't listening into this podcast, although that was over 20 years ago. There's got to be a statute of limitations on these things.
Yeah, there might be on that. He did leave that out when he texted me back.
Oh, what a surprise. That's why I made sure to wedge it in. I made sure to wedge that in because I knew he was going to leave it out. I'm not going to let Ed get away with that. Not on this show.
Not on this show. Yeah, we are very firm and transparent. So that was great. We actually ran the highlight on Daily Wager on Tuesday. And, of course, my producer had he's younger. He's about 10 years younger. And I was like, oh, no, I know a game where because the PAT kind of behavior is new to the point spread drama, sure. Right? We now are conditioned to the running back falling down. But that was a different one for some people. I was like, oh, no, I got one 20 plus years. let's turn the page to this coming weekend. I know we've talked about in the past in terms of some of the college bettors and the NFL, like there's not as much sharp play during the week because of the COVID uncertainty and the curveballs that can be thrown. But what sharp plays have you received behind the counter this week?
Well, definitely that's true in college football, but I think most people, including myself, are pretty confident that we will get these NFL games in. You know, we joked about it earlier this season. The players always seem to get magically cleared somehow just in time for the game. So we're usually seeing sharp action in the NFL during the week. That's really more applicable to college where these groups aren't really betting at all. As far as the NFL this week, I would say Philadelphia. I've seen that Philadelphia number come down a little bit, down to three everywhere. Indianapolis is a sharp side. And I feel like we say that every week when it comes to the Colts. The wise guys really seem to like the Indianapolis Colts. A group that we really respect played the LA Chargers -8.5 about an hour before we started doing this show. I don't know if I can lay 8.5 points with Anthony Lynn, DK. I don't know.
That's tough.
I don't think I can get on board with that one, but I'm just reporting what I saw back here. And certainly the Chargers, I've even seen that number move up to 10 at some prominent offshore books. So the Chargers are a very sharp side if you have the stomach for it. I've also seen the Dallas line come down. Dallas now a 7-point dog at Minnesota. So some wise guy action on the Cowboys.
Okay, so let's go through those again. So Dallas is coming down. So let's go to Philly. Philly went from +3.5 to +3 at Cincinnati, at Cleveland, excuse me. Now, Philly's a bad team. I'm sorry. I'm so done with them. But I guess I get it on that front. It makes sense.
And it's a very lopsided ticket count, too. You know, I know you like to hear those. I mean, it's everybody's on Cleveland. And we knew that even going into the week. After watching Philadelphia play against the Giants last Sunday morning, nobody's looking to bet on Philadelphia. Everyone's betting on Cleveland. And you are seeing that number come down. And you might say, well, it's only come down by 0.5. That's a very critical 0.5. When you talk about from going from 3.5 down to 3.
Yeah, it's like a 30-cent purchase. So it's significant. I agree with you there. And then you said Indy. So, yeah, we have a new favorite in that game. So it opened Green Bay -1.5. Now Philly, Indy's, it's getting up to like 2.5 at some places.
Yeah, we actually opened Indianapolis a small favorite because we were so sure that the wise guys would bet the Colts because they seem to do it every week. And the market has come back to where we opened it or a little higher than where we opened it. I'm even seeing some two out there on Indianapolis. I see one of the most prominent offshore books at 2.5, actually. So the Colts seem to get sharp action every week. The wise guys were on them big time last week against Tennessee. And they were on them the week before that when they lost to Baltimore. That was a really sharp side, just lost. It's a more than 2.5-1 ticket count on the dog Packers, and the number is still moving towards the Colts. So do with that information what you want to.
So are we we're not quite yet at the Batman, at the Batman.
No,
game,
I wouldn't go that far, but it's definitely trending in that direction.
All right, fair enough. Where do you think it closes? Does it get to three?
I don't think it would get to three. No, I think that's too significant. But just knowing the way these Colts games have been bet the last few weeks, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that 2.5 that I'm seeing right now at a prominent offshore book is the standard number by Sunday.
Chargers is interesting because you don't really usually see that kind of number. And like you said, with Lynn, but Jacksonville's pretty bad. You had everything they had into that game with Green Bay.
Well, they got the Chargers have the Jets this week.
I'm sorry. I misspoke. Yeah.
Although that is basically the same thing. That's basically the same thing, right? But you're right. You're spot on, though, because it's very unusual. Usually when the Chargers are a home favorite, the sharp guys always fade them in that role.
Right.
And I'm going back years, like 10 plus years. The sharp guys always play the Chargers as a road dog, and they fade them as a home favorite. It was very surprising to see that group lay 8.5 earlier this morning, for sure.
So that was my next thing. I saw injuries mounting for the Jets in the secondary. That's the only thing I can think of in terms of why this number, you know, why they're kind of going, breaking from habit and form to back them. It makes sense with the injuries and the Chargers need a get right game, but it's still a lot of points. The Dallas one's puzzling too. I know short week for blah, blah, blah with the Minnesota, but Dallas has been pretty bad. Although, you know, if they get Dalton back, maybe they're a little bit more competent getting a full seven.
Well, Dalton was terrible in his limited action. And Minnesota's actually been playing fairly well the last few weeks since they got Dalvin Cook back. So I don't disagree with you. I'm a little surprised to see that. Our look-ahead number on this game was more like 9.5, and we did see sharp guys taking that before the weekend. They were taking Dallas plus 9.5. We might have been a little high on that. It has surprised me to still see money come in on the Cowboys here during the week. They took 7.5, and they knocked us down to plus 7 even money right now on the Cowboys. I think we'll still need the Cowboys on Sunday, though, because with that 125 time slot, you got to think Minnesota, especially Minnesota money line, is going to be a very common play from the public.
Yeah, it might be in a teaser for Bonanza. We'll get to that in a little bit. What do you think is going to be the biggest line move between now and kickoff? I have an opinion. We're already starting to see it. The Bucs -3 number looked really short. Now, I don't like the Bucs, but I felt like after what they did in the last game, Brady and the Rams are still not a sexy team to bettors. I think this number is coming up, and it's already 4. I think it goes to like 5.5.
Well, the only problem is we've seen some resistance. We've seen guys taking 4 with the Rams early in the week, and that knocked it down a little bit to 3.5. It's since gone back to 4. You know, sometimes the sharper guys won't let the numbers climb up. They'll buy it every time it pops up, and it'll keep the numbers lower than maybe they normally would be. The public will bet on Tampa Bay on Monday night. So you might see it move up a little bit. But I don't know that it'll go up that much higher. Because go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, so on an island game like that on a Monday night, won't the public money just like outweigh the sharp money in terms of volume? So at some point, the sharps will just stop buying because they'll all have bought the points, right? They'll all have bought the They're not out of money, but they don't just like they don't just keep betting like $1 million. Like they stop when they have enough.
If it was Sunday night football, I would agree with you. But it seems like nowadays the parlays from the week all go into the Sunday night game.
Gotcha.
Like we saw all this money last Sunday night. We were Ravens to the over would have been our biggest loss of the year in football this season. And there really wasn't that much carrying over to the Vikings the next night. I know that the Ravens lost anyway. But I was looking at the parlays, and it really – there wasn't a ton of money going to Minnesota, even if Baltimore had won and covered. Now, that might not necessarily have been the case at every book in the state, right? I can only see our numbers. But usually everything builds into that Sunday night game, and the Monday night game is more on its own. I don't know. Maybe people leave town Monday morning. That might be what it is. But it's usually that Sunday night game. The Sunday night game is where you see everything build to. I do agree with you, though. There certainly will be more money on Tampa Bay than the Rams on Monday night. But it won't be like the Sunday night game where everything builds into that game, and sometimes you see the market panic at the last second.
Well, and I would imagine a lot of the tourists in Vegas are coming from states that have gambling, so they don't have to tie up their money for Monday night because they'll fly home and they'll be able to bet it once they get home to their state or their guy around the corner, right? Like, I don't think there's a need to jam up all the money, but that's interesting. That's an interesting trend. I'm going to say this, my public service announcement. I'm not saying I like the Rams because I don't in this spot. I just think, but I will be very careful backing the Bucks, and I'll tell you why. There's been three bad games this year by Brady. Maybe the opener too. We'll let, outside the opener, I think there's been three games by Brady that it's been very shaky. Do you know what they are? Thursday night game
The Sunday night game against the Saints. Oh, yeah. The Thursday night game against Chicago. Good memory. I forgot about that one.
Sunday night against the Saints and also the Monday nighter against the Giants, although he made some throws in the second half. But for the most part, those were the three clunkers. It was all at night in prime time. Do you want to know why I think that is?
Because as we get older, our bodies can't stay awake that late.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it's not because he's nervous in the spotlight. It's the guy goes to bed at 9 p.m. The guy goes to bed at 9 p.m. every night. So it's not just that he's older. It's that his whole schedule is completely changed. I mean, the Patriots would, like, tweak practice sometimes in the last couple of years because he needed his, like, 12 hours of sleep or whatever in his chamber. So if he goes to bed every night at 9 and he's so, like, regimented on it, which is amazing, that makes him great. But, like, kick off at 8:15, like, I don't
You're saying it's like Morty Seinfeld, where you know all you got to do with these old guys is schedule a 6 o'clock meeting. They're up at 4 a.m. by 5 o'clock they're wiped.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
So Brady in prime time, he's wiped. He's been up since 4 a.m.
I mean, that's the thing, right? Second half's like mid REM for him. So I would just be very careful, just assuming it's going to be the same Brady we saw last week. That's all. So I'm curious when the playoffs arrive, like if they're going to get that Saturday night game, because obviously he moves the needle so much, but just saying, might be a call.
Well, and you know, too, wild card weekend, there's going to be a Sunday night game too. Because keep in mind, you're going to have triple headers on Saturday and Sunday this year. I would imagine the divisional round will be the traditional schedule. But the wild card weekend is going to have a triple header each day. So, you're right. The Buccaneers will be one of the most popular teams that week, I would think. So they might be in prime time. He might be wiped.
They could get the afternoon slot on Sunday at Fox. So we'll see. Sure. We'll see. I just wanted to be careful because if this were game on a Sunday and they opened 3, I would have hammered it. But I am a little nervous. It's a fascinating theory. We'll see if it materializes. But It's fun to kick it around. What other line moves do you think you'll have between now and kickoff?
I would imagine, you know, you might see New England move up a little bit. Everybody's betting New England. New England on a two-game winning streak, which is a big deal for them this year. It's a very lopsided ticket count. So you might see that number move up through the dead numbers a little bit, maybe get to 2.5. I don't think we'll see 3. And then the other one, Pittsburgh, don't be surprised at all if that number goes up to 10.5 or 11. They're on the road against Jacksonville. That looks like it'll probably be the most lopsided game of the morning.
So I was going to ask you about that game because I know we've discussed in the past that the public typically doesn't like the late big numbers. Jacksonville just had a really competitive game with the Packers. So I thought that would be a game that like the public wouldn't really get involved with. So you're saying that they will be involved there.
Well, when I say really big numbers, 10 is a big number to me and you. But, you know, when I say really big numbers, I mean like 20.
Gotcha.
In the NFL. I mean, they really, honestly, they won't really hesitate to lay 10 with a road favorite here in the NFL. There's not a lot of other really enticing matchups at 10 a.m., if we're being honest. I mean, there's some real duds at 10 a.m. So I think the public is going to be all over the Steelers. They're going to be all over them in moneyline parlays. Also, keep in mind, look ahead spot for Pittsburgh. They play 4 days later in primetime against the Ravens at Heinz Field. So not a great scheduling spot for the Steelers in this game.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Ravens because you mentioned it earlier with the big loss on Sunday night. And I'm done with the Ravens. I think there's a little bit of – well, A, the Stanley's out. That's cost him. He's been out since the first quarter of the Ravens-Steelers game. But I just think this team's, like, lost its edge, lost its mojo a little bit in the offense. You know, needs to play downhill a little bit, and they continue to shoot themselves in the foot. And I just don't trust them. Now, there is a revenge spot here with Tennessee, so I would normally like them. Like, if this game was early in the year, I'd be all over the Ravens. I'm passing, but I'm curious, with that Thursday night game, how, you know, it's going to be fascinating to see which Ravens team we see come out here.
That's probably the most interesting game of the morning, at least for normal people. For me, the most interesting game is the Saints because of Jameis Winston. But for normal people, the most interesting game has to be Tennessee-Baltimore. Tennessee's in kind of a free fall right now. You know, they really have – I think they've lost three in a row. They've fallen way back from where they were at the start of the year. Baltimore, it's very obvious what's happened there. It's something we talked about last year. These defensive coordinators, they studied Lamar Jackson. They had a whole offseason to study him. And I think that they figured him out. You know, he's just not nearly as effective as he was a year ago. That doesn't mean that he won't have any more big games this season. He's too talented to be kept down all year. But it's certainly not what we watched last year, where Baltimore was just running wild over everybody they played. They've obviously found ways to slow him down. When this number was six, the sharp guys were taking six with Tennessee. We're down to 5.5 on that game.
I do agree that it's one of the more intriguing games for the reasons we laid out. So the biggest needs for the book will be Houston, Jacksonville.
Yeah, Jacksonville.
Denver's got to be a big need given how Miami's playing.
Yeah.
They've won five in a row.
And as we get into the afternoon, you're going to be looking at, we'll need the Colts. The public will play Green Bay. But you're absolutely spot on. It's Denver's going to be the biggest one. Because Miami's been – what has Miami won? Five or six games in a row? They've been great. Mm-hmm. And Denver is just – this is a lost season for Denver. They're going to have to move. I still think there's a lot of talent there. They're going to have to move on from Vic Fangio in the offseason. They're probably also going to have to move on from Drew Lock and find a different quarterback. But Denver's got a lot of talent on that roster. They just have a lot of guys hurt right now. Already seeing a 3.5-to-1 ticket count on Miami. I would expect that to keep going up. Although, you know, Denver was a really sharp side last week. That number really crashed, and then they got blown out by the Raiders. But there were a lot of wise guys on the Broncos a week ago.
I hate betting the Broncos. I just do. I just think their quarterback play is so mediocre, and I've looked to fade them, and I'm usually wrong when I pick the wrong times. You mentioned the Raiders, the book, being nuts on the Raiders game, and the public loves them. Well, they're also facing a public team in the Chiefs with Mahomes, one of the faces of the league. Now, there's some COVID issues going on, but what do you expect in terms of need for the book and ticket count here?
Well, Kansas City is the most public team by a long shot. If you're talking about week to week in the NFL, two reasons for that. They've got the best player in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes is by far the best player in the NFL. And then the other thing is they just score a ton of points. The public loves these really high-scoring teams. They trust them.
Yeah.
We're going to need the Raiders huge. We'll need the Raiders huge on Sunday night. There won't be as much parlay accumulation as there normally would be because the game's off the board right now. And we don't know when it's going to be back on. So you lose out on all the parlays you would have rode on Wednesday, Thursday, maybe even Friday because the game's off the board. So you're not going to have the kind of parlay accumulation we saw to Baltimore last Sunday. But when the game does go back up, Kansas City or Kansas City Moneyline will be the bet closing every parlay we write on Sunday. So we'll need the Raiders pretty big by kickoff. I'm sure of that.
Finally, the game tonight, Seattle, Arizona. I thought this line would go up. It's a really interesting game because Seattle is favored by the same amount, essentially, they were at Arizona a month ago. So you would think there's line value and a flat spot for Arizona off the Hail Murray and the Seahawks, kind of a buy low spot with them off back-to-back losses. But it sounds like the public and the sharps are on the same side with Arizona.
They are. That's exactly what it is. Some sharp guys are betting Arizona. The number's coming down, and the public is on Arizona, too. Yeah, this is the first time in a very long time that we're actually going to be rooting for Seattle. Unless something drastic happens between now and kickoff tonight, we look like we're going to need the Seahawks because everybody's betting on Arizona. I think Arizona's kind of a fool's gold team. You know, they're very fortunate to win that game against Buffalo on Sunday. Seattle's defense is so lousy. It's really hard to trust them. And Russell Wilson has struggled a little bit the last couple of weeks. It's hard to trust the Seahawks right now because their defense is so bad.
It is. And we've talked about it on the Daily Wager. Just, you know, I made the analogy that it reminded me of the Phoenix Suns defenses back when they had Mike D'Antoni and Steve Nash. And that they statistically, in some categories, they were horrible. But actually, like, in defensive efficiency and, like, rating, they're actually just, like, middle of the pack. And it was the reason they were giving up so many points. This is talking about the Suns. It's because they scored so quickly, right? The famous book, 7 seconds or less. So they were giving up a lot of points per game, but a lot of that was just they were playing in games with more possessions. Now, in this case, Seattle's pass defense, but you're right. They've been torched. Buffalo just opened up a can from the start, throwing all over them. So I'm on Seattle -3 just because I'm stubborn. And I just think there's line value. They were up 10 with 3 minutes to go in the previous meeting and just kind of blew it with the stupid unsportsmanlike conduct penalty on the field goal with 3 minutes to go. But it wouldn't shock me if Arizona won the game. I just think it's a little too trendy, and I think Seattle's going to get a lead. This was close to being a bonanza middle game, buddy. This was close to,
you know, this is going to scare you a little bit, because I like Seattle myself.
Yeah,
I agree with everything you just said. I think that I think Arizona's way too trendy tonight. And even though I don't trust the Seahawks defense, I do trust Mr. Unlimited Russell Wilson. And I like Seattle too. And I don't think Kingsbury is going to get away with it if he settles for these dumb field goals he likes to settle for. Because I expect Russell Wilson to light it up tonight.
But Minnesota was a trendy favorite on Monday, and it got there.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. You know, I mean, and you know, you can't ever, whenever you're betting on anything, not just the NFL, just because something is a trend that works sometimes doesn't mean it's going to work every time. You want to talk about reverse line movement on Sunday. Everybody was betting your Raiders like crazy. And that number still came down from 5 to 3.5 on Denver. That's classic reverse line movement. It's a definition of reverse line movement. And the Raiders killed them.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why you have to bet within your bankroll.
Well said. And, you know, it's the old adage, though. The whole reason for this is the old adage of betting the NFL. This is not college football. Teams do not go undefeated. And you cannot assume a team's going to play as poorly or as well as they played in the last week. They might do it for a couple weeks in a row, but the stinker, or there's adjustments or whatever, the coaches, you know, there's always going to be some regression to the mean. Now, that doesn't mean teams can't go, I don't know, 11-5 ATS for a season. So there's going to be some teams that obviously outperform, but for the most part, it's about middle of the pack. I mean, even the Jets have covered a couple after struggling. We'll see about the Cowboys, but they finally got off the schneid at some point. But those are still the extremes. At some point, these teams that win every week are going to have a bad game. And we've seen that with some of these teams. Look, the Chiefs lost to the Raiders at home. They're certainly better. I'll wrap it up before we get to Bonanza. There seems to be, you guys, will be a lot of money line parlays and teasers. So you get like the Chargers, Chiefs, even the Ravens and Vikings kind of like seem like a pretty, what's going to be a pretty popular teaser play.
And the Steelers. All those teams are exactly right. Yeah. Also the Pittsburgh Steelers. So you're going to get all those teams. I was actually referring to money line parlays. Yeah, to answer your question, yes, they will. But I was referring more to money line parlays. I mean, the Steelers are already, they're already in more money line parlays than any team on the board this week. So absolutely. But yes, also they will also tease the Steelers. So they'll be both. We'll be rooting for Jacksonville.
Will you get many Cincinnati +6 to +7? So it's 7.5 in a teaser.
I think that's a good teaser. I mean, if you ask me what teasers I like, I would say Cincinnati going over 7 and Houston going over 7. But the public is more inclined to tease down than tease up. You see not that I'm referring to myself as a sharp, but you see the sharper guys tease up through those numbers of 3 and 7. You see the public more so tease down towards pick 'em. Just in general, that's usually how it goes.
I agree. It's just, you just don't see it very often, like you said, with the public. Okay, let's get to the bonanza.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, the executive director continues to make a move. I mentioned it earlier. Nick Chubb running full speed out of bounds at the 1 cost me a push, which is good. I got ahead of the number. But Murray, Thursday night, big second half for the Colts. You now have a commanding lead, according to Darren, our intern, who tweeted, I need to do math myself, but I think he's going to be accurate. You are +$50 for the year. Well done. I am -$14.
Can I ask you, you don't just blindly trust Darren? You want to double check his work?
If he's going to put in the hours and get school credit, right. I owe him that, right? I owe him that.
That's a good answer.
That effort on my
end. That makes sense. You know, I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I don't love anything this week. I'm just going to give you two. I'll give you two plays though, but I'm going to do them for half the amount of what I've been playing. I've been playing dimes. I'll play two games each for 500. And I'm going to start with the game that you and I talked about, Seattle -3 even money. Ooh. I'll do that one for 500 to win 500.
Okay, I'm gonna do a teaser, and I'm gonna come back to Seattle. I am gonna do a live play and have some fun with our Twitter people. I'm gonna do a teaser. I'm teasing the Chargers down. I see some 8.5s out there. Is that that's BetMGM? Is that accurate?
I don't know. Is there 8.5 still? Let me see. Hold on. I mean, I could just trust you. I'm seeing 9.5 on that game.
Okay, I was gonna say I don't have a live screen, so I will do a 7-point teaser.
Okay.
Chargers to, gosh, it's tempting to take the Vikings. It really is. There are any 9.5s for the Steelers?
Well, you'd have to have 9.5 at both books.
Yeah, you can't cross book.
But to answer your question, no. I see. It looks like Steelers 10 is painted pretty much across the board. Ten and a half in the off zone.
I'm going to do a money line parlay, and I'll go figure out the math. But it's going to be to win.
I don't know. We'll need Darren to get out his calculator. I can't help you with that.
I'm going to do Steelers and Chargers.
Okay. I'll need Darren to tweet at me with the math.
We'll do risk 1500, and then we'll figure out. It'll probably pay 12 something or whatever,
All right. Okay. I can live with that.
You said you have a second play?
Yeah, my other play, I'm going to go with Denver. You know, we just talked about how Drew Lock is not very good and how Vic Fangio needs to be fired. So, yeah, what the hell? I'll go with the Broncos. I'll take the Broncos for 550 to win 500. We've got plus 3.5 minus 120 here at the Westgate, but I do see 3.5 minus 110 at William Hill, South Point, Circa, and a few other shops. I think that's well within my rights. Well within my rights.
Absolutely. So I'm going to take a position on Seattle. We'll do 2,500 on Seattle minus 3 flat.
Oh boy.
And then to be continued.
Sure.
On Twitter. Yeah.
Well, I will be. I'll be at home tonight watching that game on my couch, with my typical sarcastic tweets about field goals. So I'll be there, ready for Darren to let me know when you fire back on the Cardinals.
Question for you. Did you, we're a week away from something.
We're a week away from Thanksgiving.
Props. Are we going to be getting a Wednesday night?
The problem is I'm not going home this year. So I'm not going to be able to see the Prince of Props in person. Unfortunately, because of the situation in this world, I'm not going to be able to fly home. I will definitely talk to him, though. I'll talk to him. I talk to him every day anyway. What's the difference? So I'll right, talk so may- to him.
Yeah.
I'll get maybe something a drunk together. Dial.
Yeah, maybe a drunk dial on his part. Something along those lines.
That would be very typical of our relationship. I will be sure to get a play for him for next week, because I know we're going to do the show next Tuesday, right, to have it ready for Thanksgiving?
Correct.
So I'll try to get a play Wednesday, and I'll tweet it out. I'll tag Darren.
Okay. All right. Good stuff, my man. As always, thanks for the info and insight, and we'll talk to you next week before Thanksgiving. Have a good weekend.
Yes, sir. Talk to you soon.
Kicking is for losers.
All right. Thanks to Mr. Executive Director John Murray. He alluded to it, so we'll be taping next week on the early side. A lot of podcasts, obviously. We'll be adjusting for the holiday travel. If you are traveling, I am not. Murray's not. Obviously, the COVID component to the travel, but some people are traveling. But either way, it's an early week for the holiday, so encourage everyone to get in early their NFL action. Some interesting games. They're all about pick 'em on Thanksgiving, so including that Ravens-Steelers rematch. So that's the most compelling of that slate. But thanks to everyone, and we'll catch you back here next week.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.